It's time to know the enemy, Auburn versus Missouri edition.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. Happy game day. It's time to get to know the enemy, Auburn versus Missouri. I'm going to dive into the offense and the defensive side of the ball. Hopefully, I doubt there's that many people driving to the game, but if you're getting up, you're pouring your Bloody Mary, you're pouring your mimosa, you're getting your breakfast ready, preparing for the day, getting ready for Auburn from Auburn versus Missouri. Hopefully, I'll give you some things to watch for during the game and what to expect. And before we dive all into that, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus. So whatever the deposit you put in, they're going to double it, give it and give that back to you free on top of it. So give them $200. They're going to give you another $200 back to play with. The sports book is wide open. Any kind of a line you can imagine, they've got it. Get you some of this Auburn. Get you some of this Auburn total, get whatever you want to get, college football, NFL, they got it all, live betting, first half, second half, whatever you can imagine, they got it. Check them out, mybookie.ag. It's a big game for Auburn, all going on the road, 11 a.m. After a bye week, 2-4, lost three straight. You got to have a win. You need to have a win. You've heard players say we're close. We just got to have that one win, and I think we can snowball it. And This is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity, and I'll tell you why at the end. But I want to get, again, the purpose of this show on Saturday morning is to know who we're playing, know the enemy, know what to expect. So I'm going to start with offense, okay? The big thing about Missouri's offense that I've noticed is they are number one in time of possession, okay? So where Auburn is the opposite end of the spectrum, Missouri – holds the ball a lot. They run a lot of plays. They are not super explosive. They don't have a ton of explosive plays, but they will dink and dunk and have third and short, third and manageable over and over again, and they'll convert and keep the ball away from the offense. That's kind of how they've made their money, so to speak, this year. That's where they've gotten their yards. That's where they've gotten their points. Their goal is to go on long, sustained drives, keep the ball away from Auburn, and sort of demoralize you. And they're not going to necessarily do it lining up and running over you, running through your face. They've got two incredible wide receivers that are great at, they're both seniors. They're great at being able to find space. They're great at being able to be third down targets. They're just really, really good wide receivers. But it all starts with Brady Cook, the quarterback. Brady Cook seems like he's been at Missouri for 100 years. There's nothing about Brady Cook that's going to wow you. There's nothing about him that you're just going to be like, holy cow, that dude is something special. But he is very, very efficient. He's going to have modest numbers, modest touchdown numbers, but he's going to make the big throws on third down. He's going to complete a high percentage of his passes. And he's just going to facilitate this offense. Game manager doesn't have to be a derogatory term. This kid can play. And again, there's nothing about him that's going to just wow you that you're going to say, geez, what can we do here? I mean, this is a first round draft pick. There's nothing about there's nothing about him that's going to give off those vibes. But he's going to be steady. He's not going to get shook, and he's going to get the ball out. They're going to throw the ball a lot. It's going to be a lot to the perimeter, a lot of dink and dunk type stuff. That's how they make their money, and that's how they make their hay, and that's something that Auburn's definitely going to have to deal with, you know, all game long. That's what they want to do. The two wide receivers, you got Theo Weiss and Luther Burden, and they're both older, very experienced. Theo actually, I think, came from Oklahoma. And they both have almost identical stat lines. They have the exact same number of receptions, and they have almost the exact same number of yards. I think they're off total yards by like 3 or 4 yards. So They don't have a number one wide receiver. They have two number one wide receivers. Theo may be more of the in-between the 20s guy, and then when they get inside the red zone, they're going to want to try to get the ball to Luther Bird, and he's their sort of their touchdown maker wide receiver. So, again, both of them have almost identical stat lines, but Luther Burden is the touchdown guy. He's had four catches inside the red zone, and three of them have been touchdowns. So they want to feed him. If they get to the red zone, you're going to have to find Luther Burden on the field because they're going to want to go to him. And they're going to, I mean, and he does really well. He's physical. He's big. He's just able to make plays. So he's going to be a big challenge for our defensive backs, especially I imagine. Yeah, it's probably going to be Kay and Lee's going to be on that guy. And, you know, Kay and Lee's kind of – he needs a good game. He's reeling a little bit. Has struggled the last two. Gave up a big play against Oklahoma. Gave up some big plays against – and, got a really bad pass interference call against Georgia. He's just struggling a little bit. So, could they try to pick on him there? I don't know. But that's going to be a very big matchup to watch because both of these wide receivers are – very good. Auburn would love to have both of them. I think Auburn tried to get at least one of them, tried to get Theo when he went into the portal. But, yeah, he's a good player. Luther is obviously a really good player as well. But, again, they don't throw the ball. I mean, they don't get a ton of yards. They don't get a ton of yards because they're controlling the clock. But they just make big plays at big times. And that's what you need to make this offense work. The unsung hero on this team that I feel like you don't hear a lot about is Nate Noel, their running back. He is a very solid running back, has very similar numbers to Jarquez. He's not your workhorse. And again, it's because, you know, he's not their workhorse back. They have two backs that they use a little bit, but he's a really, you know, in the touches that he gets, he makes the most of them. Again, he's short, but he's stocky, very experienced, very explosive. He's sort of their every down guy. So they do have a good, you know, their passing game gets all the love, but they do have a pretty solid little running back in Nate Noel that can hurt you if you're not careful. Again, Auburn's not going to just be able to only focus on those two wide receivers because if they do, Nate Noel can gash you and he can take it to the house. He can make big plays. One of their other running backs they have is a transfer from Georgia State, and he's like 30 years old. He's played a ton of football. He's obviously not 30, but he's played a lot of football. Marcus Carroll, and he's their thumper. Okay, Marcus Carroll is 210 plus pounds, and I think that's generous. And he has five touchdowns. And versus, you know, Nate Noel, I think only has two. So when they get in the red zone, they're going to want to put Marcus in, and he's going to pound it. When they get in short yardage, they're going to put Marcus in, and he's going to pound it. He's a big, bruising back. Like, I don't even remember this kid going in the portal, but he is what a pickup he's been because he's had a really good year this year. Great, great addition to this offense. So you got the elements of the passing game. They're going to be short, intermediate routes. They're going to try to run a ton of plays, eat up a ton of clock, and they can do it in multiple ways. I think the bigger focus is going to be those two wide receivers, and then if they get in short yardage, they can try to pound it and get those first downs. So not a super explosive offense, not a super flashy offense. They just bring their lunch pail and their hard hat to work, and they control the clock and they move the chains. So I think Auburn's going to have to be aggressive. If you sit back and sort of let them play, keep the ball in front of you, that's what they want to do. So they want to have long drives. They want to, be able to control the clock. They want to dink and dunk. So if you give that up, you're playing right into their hands. So they're going to have to get after him. They're going to have to get after Brady Cook. They're going to have to speed his clock up. They're going to have to take some chances and get in the face of some of these seasoned wide receivers and see if they can, get them off their time and get them off their routes, because otherwise Brady Cook's just going to pick you apart and kind of control the ball and move the chains. So that's what to expect out of their offense. Defense, again, nothing super flashy, okay? They don't beat themselves. Another thing about the offense I forgot to mention, they never turn it over. They only have two turnovers on the whole year. So, that, again, if you sit back, they're going to abuse you. Got to be aggressive. Defense, very similar to the offense. Nothing super flashy about them. They don't have a ton of turnovers. They don't create a ton of turnovers. They don't create a lot of sacks. They just keep the ball in front of them and make you beat them, basically. That's their goal. They don't lead the conference in sacks. As a matter of fact, I think they have less sacks, either the same amount or less sacks than Auburn does. And turnovers. They don't pick the ball off. They don't force a lot of fumbles. There's nothing super duper flashy about them. They just sort of, again, try to make the offense beat themselves. And Corey Batoon is their first year defensive coordinator. He has coached almost his whole career with Hugh Freeze, 8 years at some point in time across multiple stops with Hugh Freeze. He's never been a play caller, though, while he was there. But imagine being able to see what Hugh does in practice, be able to see how he runs his offense. You know, he's going to have an idea of what Hugh wants to do. I mean, he's got probably the most experience out of anybody with Hugh as far as from a defensive coordinator standpoint that you're going to go up against. He knows a lot of the ins and outs of this offense. So that's going to be something that's going to be tricky for Hugh to be able to figure out. You could try to take tendencies and try to break them because Corey may understand your tendencies. There's just going to be some challenges there that you don't necessarily have against other teams because of the experience there. Already mentioned bottom of the conference in sacks and turnovers created. That's big for Auburn because Auburn gives up a lot of sacks and at times has turned the ball over a good bit. And then the key to this game is going to be able to sustain drives, sacks in drives, and turnovers in drives. So you're playing a team that doesn't do a lot of either. So you feel like you got maybe a little bit of a, I don't want to say advantage, but you got something right there that you can, you know, kind of feel like you have a decent matchup there. Their big playmaker, one of their big, you know, they don't have a ton of tackles for losses. They don't have a ton of sacks, but one of their big playmakers is actually out for the game. And that's Khalil Jacobs. I don't know if you remember that name. I know it may sound familiar. He's a transfer from South Alabama. Auburn thought we had him. I think Auburn wanted this kid really badly. And he has had a pretty good season to start off the year with Missouri. He went to Missouri. He's had a really good start to the year. He's out for the game. Not specific on his injury. But that's something, you know, key. I mean, their other big guy is the other big tackle for loss guy is an interior lineman. So it's hard sometimes to make plays from the interior other than really just be disruptive. So you don't necessarily have that elite pass rusher. You don't have that guy that you got to have your eye on. You're worried about at quarterback that's going to be coming every single play. Khalil Jacobs is that guy, and he's actually out for the game. So that's something definitely to watch for as well. It seems like the theme is, and I don't want this to sound like an insult because it's not, because they've been very efficient and they have a really good record and they're a top 20 team. But nothing about either side of the ball is just really super flashy, really super explosive on either side. And on top of that, their defensive numbers and offensive numbers look really, really good based off of their schedule that they've played. They've had a very, very, I don't want to say poor, but they've had a not as challenging schedule to start the year off as, you know, some of the other teams in the conference. And then the two games that they've had against conference opponents, one was Vandy, who basically had them beat, and they came back and beat them in overtime, which has turned out to be a pretty good win, beating Vanderbilt. And then they got absolutely slaughtered by Texas A&M. So if you look at their actual conference numbers on both sides of the ball, neither one is very, very good. They've only had two games, so obviously that could change. But from a schedule standpoint, I think some of the numbers are inflated just a tad. So they're not super flashy on either side of the ball. They just want to go out, do their thing, handle business on offense, grind it out, keep the ball, and on defense, make you beat them. They're not going to beat themselves on defense. They're going to make you beat them. They're going to try to make Auburn drive the field and limit big plays, which is something Auburn's offense has kind of relied on. You know, we did the whole show yesterday about the key to Auburn having success is sustaining drives. Well, Missouri's going to make you do that. So you're going to have to be able to sustain drives to be able to beat them, to be able to score on this defense. They don't care if you want to. They don't care if you want to go 2 or 3 yards at a time. They don't care. They're not going to give up the 40 to 50 yard play. That's just something that they don't do. They're going to keep it in front of them, and they're going to make Auburn beat them. Now, I think there is a chance that that is going to play into Auburn's favor big time, especially in the running game. They got gashed on the ground against Texas A&M. They got gashed on the ground versus Vanderbilt. And Auburn has obviously one of the better running backs in the conference. So if you're able to sustain drives and utilize that, there is a mismatch there, I think. I think Auburn can take advantage of their rush defense. I really do. And the numbers bear it out. That's kind of what we're looking at. Can Auburn sustain drives? That's going to be key. And can Auburn be aggressive enough to get them off schedule? Can Auburn get them into third and longs? Can Auburn get them into some three and out situations? Can Auburn get off the field on third down? Those are going to be the big keys because, again, if you just sit back and wait for them, you sit back on them, they're going to methodically move down the field exactly how they want to do. So I'm anxious to see what DJ Durkin does dialing up pressure. Getting after them? Are we going to, you know, play up a little bit more, play back? Like, what's the secondary going to look like as far as how they play these very talented wide receivers and so on and so forth? It's going to be a really interesting matchup. You're going to have to be aggressive on defense. And then we talked about offense all day yesterday, and you've had a week to prepare. You've had a week to sort of self-scout was what Hugh mentioned, that self-scouting was very, very productive. Have you found some ways to situationally get Jarquez the ball more in crucial situations? And then, you know, overall, what does the offense look like communication wise? I think that's going to be the big key to this weekend. It's hard to predict Auburn's going to win based off of how they've performed in the last several games. So I think it'll be a close game. I think there's a good chance Auburn could win this game. And then obviously if trends continue, there's a chance they could lose. That's why the spread's so close. So I'm very anxious to see how this team rebounds. And boy, oh boy, do they need this win for morale, for recruiting, for so many reasons. This game could be the biggest game of the year. It could change the trajectory, but I don't want to say it could change the trajectory. It's already, the trajectory is not great from an on the field standpoint, but it could, and your ceiling is really low, but it could change sort of the outlook on how you can finish out the season and build for 2025, which is going to be year three. With several big recruiting classes in a row stacked on top of each other. And then obviously leading into the portal, recruiting to sort of build and fill gaps and fill holes there as well. So it's a big game. I think it's going to be a close one. And I'm hoping that Auburn's going to be tough enough and be able to find the will to win and pull it out. So let's see what happens. Guys, hopefully that was informational. Hopefully you learned a little bit about what to expect in this game, what to expect. I feel like we've been nailing how these things are going to play out week after week. So let's see if we can do it again. Let's see if Auburn can pull out that win that they so badly need and hopefully kind of build something towards the rest of the year. So I hope y'all enjoyed it. We're not going to be live after the game. Full disclosure, it's fall break for me and my family. We're going to be down at the beach. I will have a reaction show to the game. So we'll talk about the game. There'll be a reaction show that'll go up probably Sunday morning sometime, and then we'll be back Sunday night for the live show that we do every Sunday at 8 o'clock, and we may have a special guest for that one as well. So definitely stay tuned. Let's see if we can pull it out. Guys, I really appreciate it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, the_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be here every single day during football season. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.